Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Served up by Wendy's. Austin Price is with VolQuest.com. Austin, how many people are making jokes with you about Tennessee being a basketball school right now?
There's a few. You know, I mean, I think that's just, I hadn't heard those jokes since about the end of the Florida game in football season. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily today more so than it is just the fact that Tennessee's football program's not been very good for the better part of a decade.
Are more people wanting to talk to you about the offensive coordinator search or the basketball team and their win over Gonzaga?
The offensive coordinator search. I don't think that's close.
Where does that stand right now from what you can gather?
I think when they interviewed three guys late last week on Friday, being Mike Yurcich at Oklahoma State, Kendall Browles at Houston, and then Jeff Lebby at UCF, and I don't believe Lebby or Bryles are a factor. And, I think that everything's trending towards Mike Yurcich. I don't want to say it's done, but I do think in talking to people, he was definitely the most impressive of the three that Tennessee interviewed on Friday. And, we'll see if Jeremy Pruitt can get that done if he likes to go that direction.
Is the issue with both Bryles and Lebby that they were wanting to bring more of their coaches along with them, and that's not a possibility at Tennessee, but it may be a possibility at other places?
Well, I think that and just fit. I mean, I think in talking to some people, when the interviews went on, they tried to explain their offense. Their offense is something that you teach by memory, and it's not necessarily something you can just write down on a piece of paper. And then you're right. I think that the fact that they wanted, for that very reason, they wanted to bring, people with them. I think that was going to be a hindrance because right now Jeremy Pruitt's got a full staff, and that means, somebody's either going to have to move on their own, or Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to make a change in 1 year, and I don't think he's willing to do that on the offensive side of the ball.
What are you hearing on Yurcich? His background, what he brings to the table? Obviously, Oklahoma State's been very good on offense. How much of that, though, should be credited to Mike Gundy, who's an offensive head coach also? It's kind of tough to know when you've got a coach that specializes on one side of the ball.
Well, Adam Rittenberg wrote a really neat piece a few years ago with ESPN, about kind of how Gundy found Yurcich. He was at Shippensburg, just kind of started researching, who put up the most points in college football. And he started researching it and then did more, kind of homework and background information and really kind of liked what Yurcich brings to the table. Yurcich is a guy, while Oklahoma State's known for kind of throwing it all over the yard, they run the football too. And they're a balanced, very, very much a balanced type of offensive attack. And, a lot of 11 personnel. This is a guy that I think understands being multiple and just, let's face it, hasn't had like just some elite talent at Oklahoma State, even though they continue to put up massive points. And I know it's the Big 12, but I mean, not every Big 12 school scores a ton of points, but Oklahoma State's always been right at the top. And, I think he's done a good job of developing, which is what I think this program needs as a whole.
All right, cynic's view of this thing. Why would Yurcich want to leave Oklahoma State right now to go work for Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee? Is there a chance Tennessee is getting Gundied again by one of Gundy's coaches that we've seen twice in the past?
Well, I mean, I think there's always that opportunity. There's always that chance, Chad. And you bring up a good kind of devil's advocate point. You could say maybe Yurcich is time. It's time for a change. He's been there for 6-7 years at Oklahoma State. And, sometimes things get stale when you've been there for a while, and you do need a change, and you need to kind of recharge the batteries and find something else to kind of get your juices flowing. I don't know. I've not talked to Mike Yurcich, so I don't know, if you know, if his interest is, you know, very much legit, or if he, you know, as you called it, he's trying to Gundy Tennessee again, or, you know, maybe he just, you know, wants a chance to kind of do something different. I mean, everybody maybe hits that point at some point in their life where, you know, they just need something fresh. And maybe that's right now for him.
Let's just play the hypothetical that something is either done or close to done with an offensive coordinator that Jeremy Pruitt wants to hire. From a timing perspective, it's easy to see why if it's an NFL guy, it's not going to be announced until the end of the NFL sure. season. From a college perspective, though, could the holdup possibly be something in a contract or maybe both sides wanting to wait until after the early signing period on December 20th to make the move?
I mean, I think that's possible. I mean, I do think, you know, there will be a lot of coaching movement after December 20th as a whole. Not just, I mean, I don't know, I'm not talking Tennessee. I'm just talking in general. I mean, I think you'll see coaches move on to different jobs that they, you know, they've, you know, had an opportunity, but they wanted out of respect to the current coach they're working for because they do like that coach. They wanted to do things the right way and kind of get through the early signing period, much like you used to see it with the, you know, just the lone February signing period. You know, there would be, you know, a lot of coaching movement right after that. So, you know, there's you know, no coincidence. A guy like Robert Gillespie, you know, he got through the second signing period last year, and then, you know, Jeremy Pruitt decided to move on from him as his running backs coach. I think you'll see that a lot across college football as coaches try to shake up their staffs and look for a different direction on either side of the ball.
Also, the reports were that the quote-unquote powers that be kept Hugh Freeze away from Tennessee. Now, whether or not ultimately Tennessee was going to bring him in remains to be seen because he became the Liberty head coach. Are the powers that be playing a big factor now as we move forward throughout this process on any of the other candidates?
Well,
I haven't heard that phrase mentioned since Hugh Freeze's name was brought up.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a betting with a guy like Kendall Briles and Jeff Lebby because both those guys were involved in what happened at Baylor. You know, but I as far as like Yursich, I don't think that they're, you know, a heavy play. I mean, I think Philip Fulmer knows what Jeremy Pruitt's doing. I think Jeremy Pruitt's been very transparent with him about what he, you know, wants to get out of his offensive coordinator, and you know, and he you know leans on Coach Fulmer in certain instances. But no, I don't think Coach Fulmer's like saying this is who you need to hire or that, you know, that's your guy. I think he just kind of, you know, takes it all in and says, you know, I like kind of what he had to say, but I don't think he's telling Jeremy Pruitt to hire anybody or stopping him from hiring anybody.
If you needed a jolt to get into basketball season, Tennessee basketball got one yesterday with a win over the number one team in the country. I saw the videos posted on social media where they had a nice crowd of people waiting on them back at UT when they got back from Phoenix last night. I know that ticket sales are going really well. They've got a number of games already sold out for the SEC season. What is the level of excitement around this basketball team in Knoxville right now?
Well, it's at an all-time high. I mean, they're sitting there now at number three in the country, only behind Kansas, a team that, you know, beat Tennessee in overtime, and then that, you know, much talked about Duke team. And so there's just a, you know, it's just a fun group to watch. It's a fun group to be around. You know, in all honesty, you know, when you talk about, you know, this basketball team, I think the fans just see them as real. I mean, like, you know, they kind of know, you know, who Admiral Schofield is a little bit or who Grant Williams is a little bit because those guys are so interactive on Twitter, on social media, at games with fans. And so I think there's a kind of a connection between the fan base and this basketball team that, you know, I think Tom Sekoviak, the SID for basketball, and Rick Barnes and everybody associated with the program really does a nice job of making sure that, you know, the fans feel like, you know, they're along for the ride with this group and they're a part of this.
Where does Admiral Schofield's 25 second half points rank in terms of individual performances you've seen over the years for Tennessee basketball? The only other player that immediately came to mind with scoring like that was a different number five, Chris Lofton, in a few games for Tennessee where they really took over a game.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it's got to be right up there. And more so than the 25, but the eight straight after Grant Williams, you know, fouled out of the basketball game, you know, I thought were as big as anything. Because if you go back to that Kansas game, Tennessee was still in that game, and it took a minute or two, Chad, for Admiral to realize, okay, I've got to assert, you know. And then by the time he did that and he made a few buckets there in overtime, Kansas had extended their lead, and then they were just kind of trading baskets at that point. So, you know, I think Admiral's a guy who's really just kind of grown into the role he's in. And you know, and they love to play off that, you know, peanut butter and jelly stuff with he and Grant. I mean, those two just, they've got a really good rapport, a really good relationship, and they do a great job of leading this team. But, I mean, to a man, I mean, like, the team's got several leaders on it. And so it doesn't have to be one of those two. But Admiral, just, I mean, he is kind of the face. While Grant's the reigning SEC Player of the Year, Admiral Schofield is kind of the face of this program with the way he carries himself, the way he handles himself, and really the way he's played this year.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com, brings the VolQuest report to us twice a week here on the Midday 180. Austin, thank you as always. We'll catch up later this week.